In Montgomery, Alabama, earlier this year, social justice advocates unveiled a stark memorial to the thousands of Black Americans who were lynched. But as they researched that ugly part of the nation's history, they discovered something that surprised them. Among the prime targets for lynchings were military veterans. Jay Price of WUNC's American Homefront Project has this story. It contains language some listeners may find offensive.
Sometimes it took almost nothing to trigger the violence against Black veterans. Disagreeing with a gas station attendant or a bus driver, or simply laughing like 19-year-old Army veteran J.C. Farmer did while clowning with a friend at a bus stop in Sims, North Carolina in 1946. A police officer took offense, they argued, and within hours a mob shot Farmer dead.
The military has always enjoyed a kind of deference and respect and honor, and it was hard to navigate that for white Southerners when they were dealing with Black veterans coming back home.
New York University law professor Brian Stevenson leads the Alabama-based Equal Justice Initiative, which built the lynching memorial. He says Black veterans often felt empowered by their service, especially after World War II, when more than a million African Americans were in the military. But they had come home to white Southerners who feared that empowerment.
Lots of Black veterans would show up back in their small towns in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, proud of their service like other white veterans.
And proud of the uniform that symbolized that service.
Except they're wearing the uniform that was a provocation. And many of them would be asked to take off their uniforms and walk home in their underwear or naked in some optic of humiliation, and they would resist, and there would be conflict, and there'd be violence.
Stevenson's organization has documented the lynchings, defined as extrajudicial killings by mobs, of more than 4,400 African Americans between 1877 and 1950. The number of veterans is unknown, but Stevenson says thousands were assaulted and many were lynched. Because those victims had served their country, some of the cases grabbed the public's attention. Like the killing of a veteran named George Dorsey, his wife, and another couple in Walton County, Georgia in 1946.
Alien influences and communistic influences from the East are agitating social equality in our state.
That's an actor recreating a speech by the race-baiting Georgia gubernatorial candidate, Eugene Talmadge. He delivered it after federal courts ended whites-only primary elections and just before the killings. Activists in Georgia annually reenact the speech. Then the actors and audience drive into the countryside to Moore's Ford Bridge, where Dorsey and the three others were lynched 72 years ago.
Get him out of the car!
Is that him in the front?
That's him.
There, they perform a reenactment of the violence that's hard to watch and hard to listen to.
Four dead niggas is better than one!
Those killings were so horrific that they overshadowed another lynching of a veteran just 7 days earlier and a few counties away.
Maceo was the first African American to vote in Taylor County.
For years, Renita Alexander has collected stories from family members about the death of her great uncle, Maceo Snipes. She found this account in a Pittsburgh newspaper.
Afterward, Maceo told a friend that the white folks on the election board appeared sort of dazed as he cast his vote.
The Ku Klux Klan had threatened violence against African Americans who dared to vote.
It was like they thought a dead man was voting, Maceo said laughingly to his friend who told me the story of how a Georgia Negro died. Private Snipes didn't know it, but the white folks were right. He was already dead when he dropped a ballot in the box.
The next day, four white men with Klan connections drove up to his house, called him out on the porch, and after a brief altercation, shot him. Snipes lingered in the hospital for 2 days, but the doctor claimed not to have any, quote, black blood for transfusions. Alexander says stubbornness is a family trait.
I really think that's what went through his mind. Why would you keep me from voting if I've served my country?
Those two lynchings of veterans directly affected the civil rights movement. They inspired a young college student named Martin Luther King Jr. to write a letter to the editor of the Atlanta Constitution, arguing that Black Americans were entitled to the right to vote, earn a living, and be treated equally. Martin Luther King Sr. later said that reaction to the killings was the first intimation of his son's greatness. And Stevenson says others took notice of the killings too.
When these veterans are lynched, murdered, it was this injury to the black community. And I think what happened in Moore's Fort was a real reminder to people, you're not safe, you will never be free, and that horrific things can happen in a moment's notice. And I think that kind of insecurity really pushed civil rights leaders to realize that they couldn't wait any longer. We've got to do something.
Still, it took decades after those lynchings for civil rights activists to make major progress protecting minority voting rights. Today, 35% of Taylor County voters are black, though Snipes' great niece, who volunteers on registration drives, says resentment of that black vote still lingers. Meanwhile, there haven't been any arrests in the Snipes and Moore's Ford lynchings, even after renewed investigations decades later. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
Tomorrow, Jay Price reports that some killings in the Jim Crow South weren't technically lynchings, but still were intended to enforce white supremacy.